going on? It's the Film Drunk Frogcast coming at you not live from the Frog Quarters in San Francisco. Oh my God, you guys, you should get really excited because you know who's back with us tonight? That's right, it's future NFL Hall of Famer Brendan.
DraftKings.com, still your number one place for one-day fantasy football contests. For all your favorite one-day fantasy football contests, go to DraftKings.com. That's DraftKings.com.
That's right. He was gone last week. It does not slow his enthusiasm for
DraftKings. DraftKings.com. DraftKings.com.
We also got Brett here.
What?
He's here.
What?
The listeners, you know, they were excited about how introspective. You really brought him in.
Fuck you. I'm chill. Everything's fine. It's going great.
I don't know anyone who's that's less true for.
It's going great.
It's going. I'm chill. He's so chill. How's your job going?
It's great.
Also, we got Laramie on the line.
Yeah.
Laramie, how's your job going?
I don't really have any fanfare behind what I'm doing here, huh? Just sitting here.
What do you mean?
Wish I was there with you.
Well, we took out the music. I mean, We finished before we got to your intro.
My DraftKings.com live read went a little too long.
Now, what is this DraftKings.com? What do?
They are an advertisement, as best I can tell.
Let me ask you this. Can I play every week, or is it like a season long?
Every week, one day fantasy football contest.
Okay.
You guys, we got a song of the week this week.
Ooh. DraftKings.com!
No, it's not, it's my favorite song. I love it.
It's not.
I get to the point where they're like, it's no longer an ad. It's a DraftKings.com. So you can be like, oh, did you see that DraftKings.com, that Super Bowl DraftKings.com for Coke?
Yeah. I was thinking they're going to have one where the person's like, did you know that you can, do you know that 15 minutes can save you 15% on your car insurance? And he's going to be like, yeah, everyone knows that. Did you know you fantasy DraftKings, you can play fantasy sports for real cash and prizes and then just everyone gets murdered?
Yeah,
I do want to tell one Phil Simms story before you get to this song.
Oh, good.
Watching, just out of the corner of my eye, watching the Hawks. Who are they playing? Somebody terrible, right?
Played the Bears.
They're down, I think, 23-0. The Bears are down. They have the ball in the 40, in the fourth, and Phil Simms recommends they punt and just get out of there.
I would punt it, Jim.
He's like, you got to give your D a chance to see if they can make a play. Just punt it here. Get on down the road.
And they did.
They did.
They had 10 possessions and they punted 10 times.
They did. They had it going. Yeah.
Is that a record?
Saddest football game ever. It's a record for something. It's a record in my heart.
A futility.
A record for giving up.
See, that's why. Sorry, this is a film podcast, but
no,
I was just going to say.
No, it's not.
You know,
it's never been.
You know what I watched on Thursday night? I watched football? University of Cincinnati play University of Memphis, and they combined for 99 points. And,
go Tigers.
And there was like 7 lead changes. And then you know what I watch on Sunday? I watch the fucking Bears punt 10 times. And there's some people who get so upset when I say I prefer watching college football. And I'm like, that is the NFL to me, is punting on the 40 down 23 points. That's the NFL to me.
What are you saving the points for? Like, what are you saving? Like, what's going to happen if you don't make it?
And I'll still watch the NFL. Like, someone mentioned baseball today. I was like, what the fuck are you talking about?
He
baseball?
Did a spit take.
And
spit out half of his hot dog.
Yeah. So, you know, I'll still watch the NFL, but I'm like, I was watching this because I watched that game. I watched the Seahawks Bears game, and I was like wistfully thinking about the Thursday night game that combined for 99 points, or Texas Tech TCU that combined for over 100, or maybe 100 on the dot.
That was ridiculous.
That was an awesome game, and then was won on the last second. And I'm like, this is like falling off a fucking cliff.
It's like a rock fight. Steelers-Rams, I think, was 9-3 in the fourth or something, too.
Bengals-Ravens was at least entertaining.
I sent the missing Frocketeer, Ben Kaplan, over in Batalena. Where's he at? Batalona? Yeah. I sent him an email.
Pantalones?
Sent him an email showing that Philbin and Tomasula gave the same speech after brutal losses, saying it was on them.
Ooh.
They were going to move on, make improvements, and they're on the next.
We're
going
to watch film. We're going to correct it.
Well, you know why people watch NFL? I mean, I don't know if you guys saw Hard Knocks, but I think they're watching it for the personalities. I mean, that show was just so full of personalities. Like, I've never seen that many characters just in one room
it was
at
amazing.
The same time.
There was that one scene that was so full circle where J.J. Watt is working out and drinking Gatorade and rapping along to the song that was basically written for a Gatorade commercial. Like, I don't even know who that artist is, but it's like, that, come on, that song was written, it was basically written for a Gatorade commercial or like an ESPN interstitial
J.J. Like, Watt is like a human in a Gatorade commercial, isn't yeah. he?
J.J. Watt should be rescued, though. He shouldn't have to play on the Texans. Someone, the Rangers should break in, Army Rangers, not Texas, and save him.
Then didn't he talk about himself in the third person where he said like the athlete? We're just trying to get like the athlete to be the best.
Well, that's him. He's the athlete.
So is it worse that he's talking in the third person or that he's adding the extra syllable like all football players do to athlete?
Athletes.
Athlete.
Yeah. Yeah. Every coach, it's like, I think it's part of coaching school. First of all, you have zero command of how to pronounce names.
Yeah.
That's like the first rule. Every I never had a single football coach that called me Brendan. It was always Brandon. And then
that reminds me of the guy I worked with at the cold storage. He used to call me Vic.
Yep.
And he never actually used words. He would just be like Vic, and then he would have a motion, and if it was two of his fists downward, that meant we should sweep.
Sweep.
And they would do two words, two hands, two fists upward, and that meant we have to tarp the grapes now.
Mm.
I have people write me emails and say Jeremy, even though they're typing in Laramie. Like, it seems impossible.
Yeah, and then yeah, the other thing in coaching school they teach you is there's a third syllable in athlete. Mm. Athlete.
It's like nuclear.
Yeah.
If you're a Republican politician. Yeah.
Be an athlete.
We got consistent out there. Everyone likes consistency.
I like tires to get flipped over. The bigger, the better.
Yeah.
I don't need personality. I don't need entertainment. I just want to see that tire go up and then back down.
Where do you buy a 1,000-pound tire?
I think the tractor store.
Monster truck rally.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
No, Bass Pro Shops.
You got to go buy them off a Gravedigger.
Yeah. You guys, we got a song of the week this week.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Tell me when to hit play.
Oh, I already hit play. Sorry.
Gonna roll me.
You can't.
The sharpest tool in the shed. This is beautiful.
Shut up, Laramie.
She was looking kind of tall with her finger and a thumb in the shape of an L.
You know this video is 7 minutes long?
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, because we're like a minute and a half into it and they haven't even gotten to the bridge.
And they don't
shut the fuck up, Laramie.
So true.
It reminds me of that. Do you guys see Shame? Where Karen Mulligan is singing New York, New York, and it's
and
like
it goes on for it's still going on.
It's like a 7-minute rendition of New York, New York. Whenever people do that, like, don't they get like one verse into the song and be like, "Holy shit, this is gonna be really long."
And Steve McQueen's like, "Take it, take it."
He likes long takes. That guy.
Yeah, he likes shoving your face against the poop.
Another fun thing. Someone sent me this. Someone had transcribed the CEO of BlackBerry.
Oh yeah, I saw that.
Oh, this is top notch.
This is fucking great.
Send this to me.
So we love tech speak, and you know, Brendan and Brett will probably have a lot to contribute here. But I thought this was beautiful. This is Jim Ball. First of all, his name is Ball Silly.
City balls.
Jim Ballsilly, the co-CEO of Research in Motion, RIM, has a different approach.
Too.
When he came through New York on September 24th to introduce the BlackBerry Playbook, his company's answer to the iPad, Ballsilly wore a gray suit and tie covered with ducks. Kicking off a visit to Bloomberg Businessweek, he said, quote, "There's a tremendous turbulence in the ecosystem, of course, in mobility. And that's sort of an obvious thing. But also there's tremendous architectural contention at play. And so I'm going to really frame our mobile architectural distinction. We've taken two fundamentally different approaches in their causalness. It's a causal difference, not just nuance. It's not just a causal direction that I'm going to really articulate here. And feel free to go as deep as you want. It's really as fundamental as causalness."
Whatever he said is the exact diametric opposite of articulate.
I like that you tried to humanize the blurb, like you were trying to add inflection and you couldn't figure out where the human
So I was thinking about this.
It's monotone all the way through.
Right. I was thinking about this, like someone responded to me on Twitter and they're like, "Oh, I understand all that. Is that bad?" And I'm like, no, it's not bad. It's just, it's the opposite of how language is supposed to work. Because people are like, oh, it's just jargon. You're like, no. Like a medical journal, that's jargon where they're like, oh, the 5 reductase inhibitors on protein 674. Yeah. Like it's very specific. Tech has somehow become, they've turned language into like a series of incredible vagaries, like just strung together. Like
they love verbing nouns.
Tremendous architectural contention at play. What the fuck does that mean? Like it has a, I have a vague idea of what that might mean, but it's just, you've it's got, so vague.
You've got like the perfect conflux of dumbness and smartness,
right?
Where they're, everyone wants to coin a new phrase, but like they're trying to do it over departmental lines. So advertising is using words that don't go with the thing.
Yeah,
and then the tech people are trying to like you know, systematize things that are stupid to begin with.
Yeah, I think that at the like at the ones and zeros level, everything's so complicated that no one could ever really hope to explain that in one go. And then at the sales end, they're trying to make everything so profound that like they're changing the fucking world. So there's no way you can talk about what the thing you're doing is actually doing.
It loses translation the moment, like it's lost translation 3 times before it hits the public.
Right.
Where people are just like grab bagging words that they've heard in meetings that sounded important to them.
What question did they ask him to get this response?
What's up with your tie?
there's tremendous turbulence in the ecosystem of course and mobility. Like that's a sentence. That's the opening sentence.
Yeah,
I had a similar experience with like
I just pictured him really sweaty and it made it so much better, just like red faced and just
like Tom Sula
sweating.
Yeah.
Flop sweating.
And then he pulls then he pulls a 357 out of an envelope like Arba Dwyer and just blows his head off.
I pictured him like Jim Tom Sula wearing like Chris Farley's sweaty coat jacket.
Read it sweaty and scared.
There's a tremendous turbulence in the ecosystem, of course, in mobility, and that's sort of an obvious thing, but also there's a tremendous architectural contention at play, and so I'm really going to frame our mobile architectural distinction. We've taken two fundamentally different approaches in their causalness.
Yeah.
Is that better?
What are the different approaches, the fundamentally different ones?
Is it causalness? Wouldn't it be causality?
Yes.
Yeah. They already got that's the thing. They've already got a word for that, but he didn't know it because he's only ever heard it used in one context.
Right.
So he's just like, well, I'm just going to fucking add some little appendages to this thing, make it crawl like a real spider.
It's like, oh, we're going to calendarize some projects coming up and then we're going to onboard some new people. You're like, dude, you're replacing perfectly good words with word things that aren't words.
The last sentence here is an invitation though, fellas. It's not just a causal direction that I'm really going to articulate here, and feel free to go as deep as you want. It's really as fundamental as causalness.
He's going to break the cause-effect dynamic that is so far built the entire system of reality. Like, as it stands, thing happens, other thing happens because of it. He's gonna like fucking ground level that
shit.
Fabric
of time.
Yeah. We're gonna disrupt the butterfly effect.
Yeah,
it's sort of like a weird. It's not quite the same, but it's along the same lines where I was almost this like time traveler when it came to like this one company. So there's a company called Slack and it's valued at over $1 billion and it gets so much press.
Slap?
So, Slack.
Oh, Slack. Oh yeah. We use
and,
that. Stupid
yeah. And,
program.
It, and it gets so much hype. And it was one of those things where I had heard about it. It was kind of on my radar. And I think probably a few times I was sort of like, oh, everyone's talking about this Slack thing. I got to even find out what it is. And then, you know, by the time I got to a computer or, you know, I was distracted and didn't do it. So I had been going for so long hearing about Slack and, oh, it's $1 billion and it's this like groundbreaking, revolutionary
unicorn.
Yeah, it's a unicorn and it's a collaboration ideation software, you know, like this
paradigm
insane jargon. And so
it's a white space graphic masturbatory.
So
mapping
at work
device.
We had used a system called HipChat.
And
I would describe HipChat as it's a group chat.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You can group it by subjects, so all the people on one team have a chat room.
Like Basecamp,
hey,
before
a
it, IRC.
Yeah, great. It's simple. It works. Whatever. And then all of a sudden, I get an email, and it's like, hey, we're moving over Slack, and we're removing HipChat. And I'm like,
by the way, we did the exact same thing. But go ahead.
Everyone, and I'm like, how does that work? Slack's a collaboration, multi-tool, revolutionary platform.
How
you know,
will we adjust?
Yeah. Productivity
I'm not ready for my paradigm to be shifted.
And we... Holy shit. And we went over and it's the exact same fucking thing. It is the exact same thing. It's a group chat client. That's all it is.
I still can't figure out why we switched. It's just like, oh, they're two different flavors of fancy AIM.
Yeah. Well, and I don't even want to talk shit because it's fine. It works.
Yeah.
It's great.
You don't want to talk shit because they might give us money at some point.
Yes.
Who knows? Yeah. Slack, if you're listening, yeah. Anybody that works
at Slack.
Slack is a revolution in business communication. It changes the way that I've done everything.
I've never put
that's
words
so fucking funny about it. But I felt like almost like you know that it's almost like the theory of relativity, and I've been traveling at the speed of light, and I come back and my twin, you know, is like, or like everyone's
yeah, he's very
dead,
old now,
right? But so I was like, the redshift. Wait, I felt so strange where I was
he's
like
in the spaceship with Matt Damon, he's got a beard.
I had some insane vision in my head of like what Slack actually was, where I'm like, oh, I guess it does everything. And then I'm like, this is literally, it does not do a single different thing than
Slack. Slack, kill Flanders. Yeah. God damn it.
I am Brendan from the stars. I have come from the future past to find out what the new hot chat client is. And they're like, it's Slack. And you're like, motherfucker. I'm going to go back into space.
It was really bizarre. It was really bizarre. And like all the way down to the navigation,
entirely,
like everything's exactly the same.
Entirely hype.
Oh, it blew my mind.
Every company that has been around that I've been involved with since it came out has had that exact same adoption story.
And I won't even go so far as to blame them. I mean, maybe it is their fault, but I wasn't paying close
enough
attention.
How did they incept everyone into convincing them that the thing that's exactly the same as HipChat is something that we need to switch to from HipChat immediately?
I don't know.
Laramie.
Yeah.
Do you Slack it wherever you do you and Bugsy Slack each other?
We link each other.
Oh, what?
Yeah, is that old school?
What do you mean you link each other?
There's a chat application called Link.
What?
No, there's only Slack.
I guess we're not disrupting.
No, you guys have been disruption plane train.
You're not at the forefront of business collaboration software.
You might have been disruptive if causality itself had been shifted via the BlackBerry Flav.
Architectural contention.
By the way, you know what happens if I were just to randomly open Slack right now? There would be a series of 647 GIFs. Because that's all anyone's fucking putting in there.
And you can't choose.
But it's business collaboration productivity.
You can't choose the GIFs. That's it. I don't know what GIF's going to come up. I just write words and hope it's a good GIF. And it's never a good GIF.
So it makes you super productive?
Yeah.
Yes.
That's what
causality?
That's what it's come to. We got a billion-dollar company that allows us to send each other GIFs.
Yeah. One of the oldest formats
like
on the internet.
Yeah, it is GIF roulette. Laramie, how was Everest? How was, like, were the performances by the mountains? Were they good?
How tall?
Yeah, I could tell at certain points it wasn't Everest, you know?
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I'm like, that's the Rocky Mountains. Come on. That's the Smoky Mountains. Give me a break. That's just the Black Hills of South Dakota.
That's McKinley. R.I.P. McKinley.
What do we call it now?
Denali for
Denali,
days.
Denali. That's a cool name. It's already a car.
Yeah.
I think I made the list, the funniest things about Everest, but we can do that whenever. Don't rush it.
Do it now.
I did enjoy a couple of people I follow on Twitter retweeted angry Ohioans, which was like really funny. Like there was a lot of people who felt like, because McKinley's from Ohio.
Oh, yeah.
He's from Canton, I think.
Is McKinley bad? Is he bad now?
No, it wasn't even that it was bad. It was,
I think he's bad.
Yeah. He got assassinated
by anarchists.
That's bad.
He tried to keep us out of the Spanish.
Also bad, because that was a
Spanish-American war.
Yeah.
Why did Spanish not sound like a real word when I said it? I think maybe I'm having a problem.
Did he keep us out of the Spanish-American war?
The athlete
is
having
a problem.
That.
Tried to, though.
Oh, okay.
That Slack has disrupted you so hard.
Spanish-American war, history has shown, was awesome. And we should have gotten into that way sooner so that we could have been like,
yeah,
I was hoping you were going to tell me that he kept us out of participating in the Spanish-American War.
Well, he did. Well, he did for a while.
Then
and
then he got assassinated.
Then he couldn't resist the tide of jingoism. And then he got assassinated. And then Teddy Roosevelt became president.
His first name was
liked
Mount?
To fight.
I guess the joke there was that if he had kept us out, there wouldn't be a Spanish-American War, but I guess that kind of fell apart once you told me that he did and then Roosevelt started it.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah. Or not started it, but
well,
he did, yeah.
Yeah.
Roosevelt.
By jingo.
So, Laramie,
Yeah.
See or don't see?
I mean, given, yeah, why not? Sure.
This is why I get this guy on the show.
I won't
the hard-hitting opinions.
I don't do that, but I would give it, like, if my thumb between up and down, it'd be like at a 75-degree angle up.
Okay.
Yeah.
He's got the.
So that's almost all the way up.
That's almost high enough to get it into your butt, which I think is the criteria on whether that's a good movie or not.
Yeah. My butt.
Are you talking about totally horizontal would be 0 degrees? Because 75.
I don't know. Yeah, now I'm looking at my thumb.
Unit circle, dog. starts at horizontal going
that's
right.
Zero.
And it rotates counterclockwise. That's how you. Then you get in your butt at about 45 degrees.
No, mine. I'm using my right hand, so it goes clockwise.
No, you can't. Oh yeah, it's right.
No, but we're in the northern hemisphere.
So you have to use your left hand.
What?
No, you have to go the other way.
No, left. Right hand is with Z.
It's a Coriolis effect. That's why.
Right hand is with Z pointing forward, positive Z. So that's gonna go. Clock. Yeah. Right.
What are you doing over there, Laramie?
Typing out my list. Hoping you don't call on me.
You just said you had a
positive
list.
Z sounds like a rapper created by a corporation to sell products.
Tells you about Slack.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, have you guys heard about DraftKings?
I had the Virgin America get your seatbelt on song stuck in my head for half a day.
I love that one.
That video is like 12 and a half minutes long.
It's so bad. You're like, let's make this thing fun. And you're like, no, nobody wants that. We just want to get through this really quickly.
I at least appreciated the cartoon.
Right.
They had a bunch of random people. They even had like the guy in corpse paint, like the death metal guy in corpse paint. Like,
was that JetBlue?
Maybe that was JetBlue.
I think it was Virgin.
Was it Virgin?
I knew the guy who did that cartoon.
Yeah, I think it was Virgin's old one before they had like the 12 and a half minute music video.
And then there's like the little Asian girl and she raps for a long, long time.
Stop rapping, girl. That's
about
positive
something.
Z. That's positive Z.
Yeah.
That is effective. Positive Z. Works.
Yeah.
I don't buckle up just to spite him because of the rap video. Mm. I bounce all over the place. They try and stop me, but they can't because it's physics.
The Key and Peele sketch, the seatbelt sketch, was pretty good. I guess you guys didn't see that one.
Could you get it?
It was good.
Do you want to describe it in words?
It wouldn't be funny.
No, it wouldn't.
No,
would it?
No.
No.
Did you guys hear? Oh, wait, sorry. Hashtag content.
Ooh.
Did you guys hear that Matt Damon hates gay people?
That's a shame.
No, but I believe it.
Yeah.
He was in Talented Mr. Ripley.
Yeah.
He was in Good Will Hunting.
He was also in that.
They weren't fucking each other? Oh.
So every headline I read, Matt Damon suggests gay actors should stay in the closet.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he said, according to a lot of headlines.
It's a hot take.
Are you sure it wasn't like his gay sex closet? Like, get in there. Let's
get in there, you.
Get in there. Just slack and get gay with my buddies in my sex closet. You sure it's not that?
No, I don't think so.
You mean like the closet where you're closeted?
Get into that sounds like a sexy version of panic room, sex closet.
Oh, dude, panic rooms are sexy to begin with.
It's true.
I mean, you got your adrenaline going because maybe there's robbers. That's
depends on the panicking.
I like to call them a fuck safe
because
I only fuck when I panic. I only panic when I fuck.
One hand washes the other. So that's, that's a pretty strong headline. What do you think he actually said?
I have no
idea. Gay should stay in the closet?
What is this in relation to?
Damon was a straight man playing gay. Is it harder for actors to be openly gay in Hollywood? I'm sure, Damon says. When Ben and I first came on the scene, there were rumors that we were gay because it was two guys
came
who wrote
on
a
the scene.
Because it was two guys who wrote a script together.
Yeah, that's gay.
I know, it's just like any piece of gossip, and it put us in a weird position of having to answer. You know what I mean?
This is all very gay.
Which was
in a weird position.
Which was then really deeply offensive. I don't want to like imply it's some sort of disease. Then it's like, then it's like I'm throwing my friends under the bus. But at the same time, I remember thinking and saying Rupert Everett was openly gay, and this guy, more handsome than anybody, a classically trained actor, it's tough to make the argument that he didn't take a hit for being out. I think it must be really hard for actors to be out publicly. But in terms of actors, I think you're a better actor the less people know about you, period. And sexuality is a huge part of that. Whether you're straight or gay, people shouldn't know anything about your sexuality because that's one of the mysteries that you should be able to play.
I mean, I kind of agree with him on that last part.
I mean, he definitely said stay in the closet.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I mean, he's a gay basher, but
Wait, do I need to respond to this?
I don't know. We could just not talk.
Content? Seems like a very non-issue.
I feel like they're just...
He kind of wobbled there. He's a little scared. He's like, Ben Affleck's not my boyfriend. All I'm kissing. I don't kiss him all the time. I'm getting weird positions and, you know, it's not a disease.
I feel like they go on these press tours and they get in these interviews and they kind of think they have to yes and with the reporter.
Yeah.
And it's like, you should never, ever...
Yeah.
You should never, ever elaborate on any reporter's questions.
The correct answer is it's probably better than it was, but it's probably still difficult to be anything in Hollywood. Like, mm-hmm. to just be a person in Hollywood is probably pretty hard.
It's really hard. That's yeah. why the people who are
yeah.
heroes.
Yeah.
We do make fun of celebrities a lot, but I kind of, like, how can you not go crazy if
yeah.
being a celebrity? Like, how do you not just completely lose your mind?
I think you have to start with some, like, big holes in your personality, and you're yeah. filling those in with all the love that you get from randos.
That sounds like hell on earth.
Yeah.
No, but you get to party on a yacht.
Yeah.
Cameras following you around.
Have sex yeah. with ladies.
Oh. Or boys.
Yeah.
If.
But you shouldn't talk about it.
You shouldn't. Apparently.
Laramie, do you ever think not coming out hurt your blogging career?
You know, I go back and forth on that. Like it's a shiny knob.
What do you want to do with it?
I think in general, he's right, though. Like, the more we know these people, the less they can act.
Yeah, I don't ever want to learn anything about any celebrities, frankly. Like, just yeah. learning that about Matt Damon makes me hate Matt Damon.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't even learn anything there. I just had a bunch of words, and Matt Damon was on a couple times.
You're angry that Matt Damon
was like, I had to hear about that asshole. I don't care about him.
Tom Cruise is just a funny little dude. And then he's jumping on couches. All of a sudden, you have to watch him through the lens of that.
I'm upset I have to have an opinion on Matt Damon now. That's what pisses me off.
Right.
I heard his name a bunch, and then you looked at me like I should respond. That pisses me off. I don't want to have an opinion on him or what he thinks about his fuck closet.
That's true. That's kind of how I felt about all the headlines in general. Like, people throwing out these hot takes, and you're like, you can't expect me to have an opinion on
that. I hate that I have to respond to what people think about Matt Damon. I hate Matt Damon, and I hate the people that made me respond. And I hate the people that kind of have an opinion on Matt Damon.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I'll go with that.
All right. That's the right response.
Brett's not going to spend his life being a color.
Being a coat?
Color?
Color.
Michael Jackson's song, black color. Or white?
Black and white.
Nothing. Oh.
That's the Macaulay Culkin rap drop.
Yeah.
Macaulay Culkin drops some hot fire.
Oh, remember when that was okay, that you could just have Macaulay Culkin do stuff and it wasn't like... People wouldn't, you know, they just tolerate it.
Didn't he bring him to the MTV Movie Awards or something one year?
Yep.
Yeah. Or like an Oscar date?
Yeah.
Now it's all Kieran Culkin. Ooh.
Isn't there another one?
There was a female Culkin, wasn't there? She was also in stuff? I don't remember.
Krikani? Michaela? Michaela Culkin?
Maybe.
Yeah, definitely a Michaela Culkin.
Definitely a bunch of Latter-day Phoenixes.
Long as you my baby, it don't matter if you're in the closet or not.
This is a great podcast.
Yeah. It's Rory. That's the other one.
Rory
Culkin. His dad's name's Kit Culkin.
I knew a guy named Todd Culkin.
This is content, you guys.
There's Cherry Culkin.
Let's make a listicle of Culkins.
There's a Gilmore Girls, Vince.
Chevin Culkin.
Glaive Culkin.
Crimps Culkin.
Rory Hugh Culkin.
Crimbus Culkin.
His parent?
Culkin Culkin.
His actual dad's name is Kit.
Yeah.
Kit Culkin.
Causal Culkin.
DraftKings Culkin. Culkin.
Here's some other
Colton Burpo Culkin.
I have other names of Culkins. Quinn K. Culkin.
No.
Is that real?
Oh, hey. So I've been doing the DraftKings thing. not actually participating. No, I've been just saying DraftKings a lot in like the Duffman voice.
What?
Just at work at your desk.
You know what's crazy? Yeah.
DraftKings.
DraftKings. Yeah. I was listening to the Deadcast, and they have DraftKings ads in the middle of the Deadcast. And so I was listening.
Really? Does that mean they can't talk shit on DraftKings?
I think they did anyway. And in fact, they made a point of like, we don't get influenced by editorial, or by the editorial doesn't get influenced by advertisers. We can talk shit on DraftKings. They made some remark about that. But what was funny was I realized that I'd been listening to the Deadcast for a while, and all during baseball season, they had been running DraftKings ads, but it never registered really. But when I was listening this week, I was like, holy shit, it's another fucking DraftKings ad. And then I realized that the whole time I was listening to DraftKings ads, this whole, you know, the last several months I've been listening to the Deadcast, and I just, it was this eerie moment where it was like the end of The Shining, where it's like, oh, he's always been there, you know, it's like, yeah, DraftKings has always been there.
You look down at your hands and they're just DraftKings.com.
yeah.
Doesn't it make you long for the days of MailChimp?
Yeah, MailChimp. It makes me long for the days of Think Pieces, how MailChimp is problematic. Mm-hmm. And then they're like, oh, sorry, we're wrong.
It's actually,
remember
not.
When the whole think piece on, like, it's an Asian woman.
It's like,
and
I'm
you're
pretty
making,
sure it's an Asian woman.
Yeah, and you're making fun of the fact that she has poor command of the English language and you should all feel horrible about yourselves. And then it's like, edit, MailChimp got back to me and it's actually like a 6-year-old.
I would love for someone to do an expose and find out that it actually had been an Asian woman all along. And you're like, oh shit.
How think, deep does this thing go?
Think piece reinstated.
Syrian immigrants.
The klaxon blares. We got this think piece. It's still got life. Go, go, go. Wait, did I hear somewhere that Jason Dove is now a reformed conspiracy theorist?
He said something about that. We should have pressed him on it.
Yeah, we need to find out how deep this one goes. Yeah. Did they get to him?
The lizard people got him.
Who got to him? I don't know who, but I'm just saying, if you look at the fact that there might be lizard people, and now the fact that Jason Dove is no longer a conspiracy, I don't know. I'm just saying that's what's out there.
Follow the money.
Follow the money. Cui bono? Who benefits?
Damn, dude. Dropping Latin on us.
Cui bono?
Yeah. I just learned that recently. Yeah. Where did I hear that?
Wasn't that a big part of JFK? Wasn't that like Kevin Costner? Like, cui bono?
Yeah, I heard it in something recently too, though. I don't know what it was.
Probably you too.
Danger Guerrero sent us.
Cui bono.
Danger Guerrero sent us a pretty good movie pitch.
Are we taking those?
Yeah, we're definitely taking. If they're this good,
all right.
Pitch is for a Netflix series called Zoo Heist.
All right.
Another quiet night at the Miami Zoo. The lights are out. The animals are asleep in their cage. Wait a second. Where are the animals? Guess what? They've busted out and they are stealing diamonds. And it's not the first time either. Led by Luther, a wise old master thief turtle, voice of Ving Rhames, they've been secretly pulling off heists
very
for years.
Turtly.
With each animal using its special set of evolutionary skills to complete the crime. Smash and grab jobs are the responsibility of the giant brown bear named Bosco, Dog the Bounty Hunter. More intricate jobs require the nimble maneuvers of capuchin monkeys Becky and Chaz, Lily from the AT&T commercials, Dax Shepard, and sometimes a big fucking annoying giraffe named Doug, Josh Gad, just leans his big stupid neck in the window and pulls things off the wall with his teeth. Once they have their booty, two orangutans, both named Vance, Jack McBriar, and in his comeback role, Scott Baio, pile up inside a trench coat to trade the goods on the black market for high-end electronics and furnishings for the secret underground animal nightclub the gophers and beavers constructed under the hippo area. And boy, are the grumpy old hippos, Ed Asner, the ghost of Rue McClanahan, pissed about all the ruckus. Coming to Netflix for a 10-episode run in late 2016, it's Zoo Heist. Critics rave, saying, these animals really are wild about crime. And isn't this just fucking Madagascar, but with every animal as the penguins? Jesus Christ. Yeah.
So related to that somewhat.
I can't wait for this.
You can't wait. wait till you get where I start with this. Today at work.
Jesus. Yeah, yeah. Fucking giraffe.
Guy I work with, he was like.
He's annoying.
Hey, I'm talking to these guys from like the deep south. I'm like, I got a call with them. They're like from Georgia. I'm stoked. It's going to be fun to talk to them. They're from Augusta. We can talk golf.
Ooh.
Okay, cool. So a while later, I'm like, oh, hey, how'd the call go?
Wait. You do not like to talk.
No,
the thing you ever say about golf is how you hate everyone.
I hate
golf.
Yeah.
It is bad. No, golf is bad.
The guy that's I work you. With likes golf, and he was excited to talk to these people because they're from Augusta, and he was going to talk golf.
Okay. I'm Brendan. Golf is bad.
Great. And so then later, I go, hey, how'd that call go? And he goes, well, I don't think they're going to buy from us. And I go, why? He goes, he said our prices are higher than draft pussy. And I'm like, what? He goes, what do you think he meant by that, draft pussy? And I go, no, he said our prices are higher than giraffe pussy. But I did this Google boy being like, well, your prices are higher than draft pussy. He didn't even know what he said.
I like just living in a world where that's a thing you say every now and then. Yeah. Well, I don't know. Prices are higher than giraffe pussy.
And the only reason I know that is I interpreted and I had to think about it for a second.
We're trying to buy lower than crocodile scrotum.
Yeah. What I thought about too, and how I interpreted it was, I'm like, higher than giraffe. And then I suddenly thought about, I did the accent, but I also thought about Mac Dre song, I Need an Eighth, where they're like smoking at the beginning. He goes, oh, damn, man, I'm hot in a giraffe ass right now. That's how I put it all together.
No, he said giraffe pussy.
He said giraffe pussy.
I like that the need to make it vulgar for some reason outweighs the like the physical simile of it. Because, you know, like a giraffe's head or its tongue or its ears are higher than its pussy. But you're like, well.
Yeah. And the fact that it's with a thick Georgia accent, like just 10Xs it.
I like that while other famous podcasters have to talk about their fancy vacations, we just have work anecdotes over and over again.
Wow.
I'd like to think that one was worth it.
No, that
I try
good.
To keep
that
my work anecdotes to a minimum.
I think the office spaciness really gives us an edge.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. What was the lower middle classiness of our existence?
Yeah. What was the most nightmarish thing that happened to you this week at work?
It's all pretty bad.
Brett's he's staring off into the abyss.
he gets that way.
I actually see his eyes. They became spirals, so like the old Twix.
Here's the thing. Every time something goes wrong, and I'm in a foreign system on like the wrong operating system, and it's just like it's a bunch of shit that I'm not an expert in. Every time something goes wrong, I have to like boil down my entire knowledge base to like bare axioms. Mm-hmm. So I need to be like, oh shit, this one thing failed. Do I remember how to be? And then it's like, is that a thought? Yes. Okay, that's a thought. I've got Descartes done. Let's move on to do I exist? And
okay.
And then you just have to build up from there. So I'm spending half an hour just go.
It's very existential then. You have to build up from the very bottom.
Yeah, anytime anything goes wrong.
That's rough.
Yeah, on a timeline.
I was sitting next to, this isn't a really a work anecdote, but since I sit in a coffee shop while I'm working,
that's
I feel like
office.
This counts. Yeah. I was sitting next to a girl who was apparently a social media expert.
Ooh.
Which meant that she was very pretty and well put together.
Yes.
In her 20s. Yeah. And
knew how to log into Twitter.
And used a lot of big words to talk about the reality TV that she watches.
Nice.
Yeah. So I was just like transcribing some of the things that she said. She was talking about who in the social media sphere has done a really good job building their hashtag brand.
It's me, right?
Could be you.
Yeah. At possumgraveyard.com, hashtag
skunkdill.
It's a good brand.
She mentioned Rachel Zoe. She's talking about Kardashians.
I know who Rachel Zoe is.
And she was explaining this to a guy in a suit because I'm assuming he was going to misguidedly give her money for something.
Oh, yeah. He's paying her $30,000 to run a Twitter feed or something.
Yeah. Well, she did mention that she charges $75 to $100 an hour for social media training.
Yeah, all she has to do is be like, insert product name here on Fleek.
Yeah. Is Bay.
Yeah. One quote, there's a whole movement right now that's all about supermodels going against the status quo and, you know, just talking about body image issues.
I'm chill. I'm fucking chill. Everything's...
She brought up toast. I forget what the meat toast, whatever the fucking dog on Instagram's name. And she's like, oh, I actually know this girl's husband who I Googled it. That's actually the fat Jew. So she knows the fat Jew.
What is meat toast?
Toast is the name of the fat Jew's dog who has an Instagram
fucking
account. And she's talking about
fuck.
It's probably someone else's dog.
He just stole
pictures.
He just fucking stole their dog. This one's toast now.
Yeah.
I'm a dog aggregator.
I'm a dog aggregator.
I'm not allowed back in 13 states because of my dog aggregation prowess.
Did 3 years for dog aggregating down in Georgia.
Dog aggregator. No nickel and chino.
Don't you think Bugs should be a famous dog?
Yeah, I really do.
I don't think I'm hashtagging it right, or my brand's no good or something.
Well, you know what? The problem is he's got a lot of skeletons in his closet. Like no one, he would never stand up to the vetting process because I know that he's bitten people.
Keep those.
I sort of feel like my dogs are muddy enough that if I wanted to devote like a full like Twitter feed to like these dogs like to Netflix and chill because they kind of do when they're playing. They end up Netflix and chilling.
God. Well, if you should I get this girl's number for you to see if she'll train you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I bet she could teach you how to take pictures of your dog real good.
Yeah.
She was talking about Lauren Conrad, Ivanka Trump, and Jessica Alba. And wow. Jessica Alba has like a whole brand empire. You know, she's like,
she's got a unicorn.
She makes diapers.
Yeah, she does.
Is that her unicorn, the diaper one?
Yeah, over $1 billion.
And one of her quotes was, valued, you know, the important thing is like, it has to have a sentiment behind it.
Wow.
That was
that is
groundbreaking stuff.
You got to be authentic.
Did you just hand her $100 because you sat there idly just absorbing all of her knowledge?
Well, you know, indirectly. Like, I live tweeted it, so I feel like she did improve my social media game.
That's good. Yeah. I like that.
And her and the business dude, they were both, they're big fans of SoulCycle.
The band?
They could have a band. That would be one way to really leverage their social media platform.
Yeah.
No, but people not in California know what SoulCycle is?
I don't know what
it's
that
basically
is.
Like a fancy spin class.
Spin class is bicycles.
Yeah, it's like $50 to go.
Yeah, but you like they play like hip music and you do push-ups on your bike and shit, I think. It's sort of like if spin class meets Jazzercise meets millennials, you get SoulCycle.
Okay, I'm listening. How much?
Yeah. $100 an hour.
$50 a class.
Yeah.
Well, we have to check the valuation first.
Yeah.
Do they keep score?
I paid like $45 bucks to go to Barry's Boot Camp in New York when I was there a couple years ago. And I went with my wife and...
My wife! You can't anticipate it. You just have to let it go. Yeah.
It's got to be authentic.
Yeah. And there has to be sentiment behind it.
And so... We show up early and we like open the doors and the doors aren't opening.
Yeah, that's the first test. You got to strength those doors open.
Yeah, but it's like time for the class to start because you have to like sign up for the class and there's fucking people inside and
they're not going to help you.
And we're waiting and I'm like, it's fucking 9 a.m. and they're keeping the goddamn doors locked so that we're lined up like it's a club.
Yeah.
You know, right. And then they finally like open the doors and it's like and there's like fog and like lights and shit. I'm like, what is this? And like it's a good workout, I suppose, but I'm like, well, okay, $45 for that. And then her friend that we went with was like, we're gonna do SoulCycle tomorrow. Like, sorry, Brendan, this is gonna be us. And
just girls. We just want to cycle. Like so sometimes you just want to go out with your girls and just cycle.
I just want to do push-ups on a bike.
Yeah. So I went and did other shit that was way more exciting than riding a fucking stationary bike inside.
Like
and
what?
Then I catch up with her and I'm like, how was it? And she's like, whatever you thought about Barry's Boot Camp, this was like 10 times worse.
Right. I don't want to even know about the psyche of a person who's like, you know what? I wish my workout was more like going to an obnoxious club.
Yes.
I need
the structure provided by assholes and their loud music.
I need That's someone convincing me that I'm having a lot of fun by blaring music in my ear.
You guys doing that Tough Mudder?
It's where you fall in the ditch, right?
You guys been doing that?
And then you're in the ditch for a while.
Did you I guys heard of someone who paid to do that and they broke their arm.
The ditch makes you strong. That's the power of the Tough Mudder.
Did you see that one Vine?
Yes, I was about to say it. Sail! The guy trying to get up the ramp.
Yeah, that was Sail! Tough Mudder, right?
I think so. Or like, one of those clones.
He tries to get up the ramp and he reaches for someone's hand at the top and it slips down and he just slides all the way down like on his face. And you can hear the squeak of his face going down.
And he also, I mean, he's a larger guy and bless his heart for trying, but he like runs and he gets to where he's basically just running in place because he can't generate enough power to get the rest of his body up. And then I guess you could technically call it a jump, but it's more just he moves his foot back. His foot moves backwards and thus loses contact with the vertical part of the ramp.
Spectacular.
He doesn't actually gain any vertical ground, but he runs and then kind of runs in place and then just does his sad little, and then he misses the other person's hand and then just, slides down on his face.
By like
and
an
then,
inch.
And then someone said it to Sail.
I don't know why you didn't describe that Key and Peele thing. That was glorious. I pictured every moment of that, and it made me feel good about all the bad stuff.
About brands?
Yeah. I want to just fucking send some money to someone's skeletons in the closet. What?
You could send it to Bugsy.
Oh, Bugsy, right. That's what, yeah.
Well, you guys want to hear Bugsy bark?
No.
Let's see if I can do it.
What do you do? How do you make him bark?
We'll see. Oh, it's very scary, actually. You ready? Hello? Who's there? Okay, do it.
Hello, come on in.
What the fuck?
What did you? What happened?
Hi. Who's there?
He barks when he thinks someone's coming in the house.
That's hey, Laramie. I know how to make your dog famous. I will 100% contribute to a Patreon that is just your dog biting famous people.
So if we say hello, like someone's coming in the door, he whoops.
Yeah. That's terrifying.
He's a charming lad.
We did get an email about someone explaining the concept of Coors Light's or the origin of Coors Light's marketing campaign.
The coldness.
Oh. Yeah.
How coldness makes it not
taste
like pee.
It numbs your taste buds right up.
Can't taste the pee.
Frotsman, at least once per Frotcast, I want to jump through my car stereo and yell at you lovable scamps when I have the answer to one of life's great mysteries that you guys so often ponder. Really, only once? That's got to happen like at least six
We're
times.
Really best, dumb.
I think we hit our peak with the not being able to remember Captain Riker's name.
Oh, yeah.
The other week. I was picturing so many people.
It's a space beard.
Screaming.
He's got a red shirt and a little triangle.
Is this just going to get worse and worse until we die where we just can't even...
I don't want to spoil
you
anything for
you.
You
guys don't even have CTE, so I imagine how bad I'm going to get.
I fell a bunch. I fell a lot.
I think I have alcohol-induced CTE. Yeah. It's pretty Could similar. Yeah. Last week, I found myself talking out loud to no one at the gym when Laramie brought up how Coors Light is marketing based on temperature and how, despite this being a very fundamental necessity in shipping any perishable product, this is accepted as somehow unique to Coors. Well, to the surprise of no one, this marketing scheme arose not out of hashtag branding genius, but out of a poorly managed company that badly misread the market for its crappy product. Back in the 70s...
People like it cold. We got to get cold.
Back in the 70s, before craft
it's
beer was a thing...
What if coffee started going this way, like, so fucking hot, you won't believe it. Folgers in your mouth like lava.
Folgers, it will destroy your mouth. Back in the 70s, before craft beer was a thing and mom smoked freely while pregnant, Coors held a cachet on the coast because it was very difficult to obtain outside the Midwest. It was cool solely because it was hard to get, not because it was good. Sort of the opposite of your mom. As the beer market expanded, Coors executive believed that Coors differentiating characteristic was that it was brewed in Colorado from Rocky Mountain water.
Awesome.
Thus, they doubled down on a factory in Colorado based on the notion that consumers liked their beer because it was made in Colorado.
It gives me hope when marketing fails.
Meanwhile, Miller and Budweiser realized that the cost and more importantly, the risk of skunking was too great to ship such a large quantity of beer from a single location. Budweiser in particular regionalized their production throughout the country. There are a ton of Budweiser breweries across the country, the largest of which is in Newark, New Jersey and not St. Louis. Coors,
Budweiser is like, people love fucking horses. What's wrong with that?
Yeah. Coors, banking on the Rocky Mountain taste, kept producing crappy beer and putting it on trains. Meanwhile, Coors still brewed most of their beer in Colorado and had to ship its beer cold and frost-brewed all over the country in refrigerated trains because it had to, due to its inability to get beer to the entire country any other way. Thus, in order to justify the slightly higher cost, they advertised their shipping and production methods rather than quality. The quality, in fact, suffered due to the extended shipping time.
Yeah, no kidding.
Coors has been using this marketing campaign for so long that they just stick with it for reasons unknown.
I appreciate the info, but this to me reads like when you talk to like the 19-year-old who just read a People's History of the United States and you're like, yeah, okay.
I don't give a shit. I ain't fact checking that. Sounds true enough to me.
Well, no, it's more along the lines of like, well, it turns out the marketing is cynical. You're like,
Yeah, that's true. I don't know why they don't go with like a millennial reboot that's ironic, like the Colonel Sanders shit where they're like, Coors Light, it's warm now. Fucking Norm MacDonald, who cares? No one cares. No one's even watching this anymore. No one cares.
So I like love the I love the
actual frost.
What are you talking
Laramie,
about?
Shut
Laramie?
The fuck up. Jesus.
They don't use frost. Okay.
Were you saying they don't use frost?
Thanks, yeah. Laramie.
Okay. Sorry, I'm sorry. That was totally worth grinding us to a halt.
Thank you.
Do you have a list, Laramie? I want to hear your list. Did you finish typing it up
or grind to a halt?
Did you type it up while we were
talking? Let's get this refrigerated train back on the tracks, Laramie. Can you give us a list of things that are great about Rocky Mountain coldness?
It's pretty close, actually. It's the funniest things about Everest.
Yeah.
Okay.
You guys haven't really seen the movie, but I think you can get into it based on the hashtag content.
And your enthusiasm. We can just enjoy it through your eyes like a child.
So when when I asked you about Everest, did you just not tell me because you didn't want to spoil your own list?
I mean, the lists aren't even me anymore. I'm an athlete, and the lists come from there.
Got it.
The lists are the tires now.
Yeah. They're really about causality. Funniest things about Everest, number one, that one dude's nose fell off, LOL, for days.
Okay.
Can't hear that.
I gave you a rim shot, but you can't hear it.
Do it again just to spite him.
Hold on, I want to hear the next one.
Okay. Oxygen? I thought you said amoxicillin for the itch. Wait.
All right. What else you got?
No,
what else you got? What's the next one?
That one guy looked all cuddled up for a winter's nap, but really he just froze to death.
Oh, damn it. I was just pulling up my air horn app.
Now
that Laramie could hear that one.
Yeah. What else? What's the next one?
Ha ha, weatherman tell us it ain't going to rain. Now we sit on top of the mountaintop soaking dead.
What?
Say that again?
That one.
It's like the Outcast thing about weatherman. You guys are not hip.
No.
Hey, what was the deal with the 6.2?
6.2?
Yeah. You said that you gave it a 6.2, and then that was really subversive, and we were like, okay, well, numbers are fun. I give it a mustard sandwich.
I gave a movie a 6.2 that we were talking about.
Why was that subversive, though? It's been bothering me all week.
Oh, because it's not a grade, right? 6.2 doesn't mean anything. It's a random.
I fucking hate you, Laramie.
There's no context. You're like a child.
But it could be out of 10, I thought.
Oh, fuck.
Should be called Neverest. Am I right, the climber guys?
All right, that one was legit.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I'd pay $65,000 not to climb that mountain if you catch my drift. Oxygen. I thought you said Gen X. I brought you an MTV VJ.
You did that one already.
Did he?
I did Oxygen. I thought you said amoxicillin for the itch.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's a callback.
No, that's good. I like that.
That one mailman couldn't deliver because he ran out of air. There's one more. You ready for it? Make it count.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
When I listen back to this episode, I'm being enraged. I know where you live, Vince. The fella who hated Harvey Milk was left for dead and then wandered into camp like a White Walker.
For some reason, the snort really just made that one. Okay, was that the last one?
Yeah.
Was it, or are you saying that?
No, it was.
Oh. You have more, don't you?
Don't.
No.
Quit holding out on us, man. Don't you be bogarting list points.
Is this just base camp, and you've got like a whole summit of things to say in order?
How many more sound effects do you have from to make fun of me when I can't hear?
A few.
Okay.
I mean,
okay.
we got the whole CSI Miami.
Can I tell a Rick Synergy story at some point?
A what story?
Synergy and disruption and stuff.
Yeah, dude,
we can't wait.
We promise not to interrupt you.
Why? Why were you? Why didn't you tell us? We asked you that earlier. You just sat there like a lump.
Wow. Well, do you guys know what CTAs are?
They are calls to action.
Nice work, everybody. It's called give yourself a Synergy high five. Woo! So I was talking CTAs back in the day, what people click, what they don't, with some A-B testers, you know, multivariate guys.
Mm-hmm. And, shouldn't it be CSA?
No.
What?
So
okay.
We're looking at different icons, different shapes and different colors. People click this, people click that. And the guy goes to me, he stops his presentation. And he goes, but the one thing we found more than anything by like 80% is that people love maps. They love to click on maps. So people see like a picture of the world like, rrr.
I click on some maps.
See, yeah, it works, but it's better than any image in the world. It's just a map.
Well, you're trying to orient yourself.
That's what you're doing. You're trying to get Chinese food. So,
The creepy thing you learn is that the more ambiguity, the better your chance of click through. So right. like if it's something that like maybe is a butthole but it's like too shiny, people will absolutely kick that.
You want to say one weird thing or you'll never get
the images are also really funny because a lot of times it's just a really attractive woman, but then every once in a while you get the photo of the woman who's been Photoshop grafted onto an entire foot.
Yeah.
Have you seen that one?
The foot,
that
was
bizarre.
Yeah. I saw one of an attractive woman like topless, breastfeeding two infants at the same time, like smiling at the camera.
Yeah, no, if you replace those infants.
Guess what happens next.
Go ahead, Brett. Brett's looking at me like I did something wrong.
You'll never guess what happens next.
Brett.
Come on, Brett. Don't be like that.
What are you doing? Is he trying to stick his finger in the socket and kill himself?
Oh. Buddy.
You have to like childproof your house around Brett because it's all just suicide risks.
I'm drawn to the sharpness.
What were you saying?
I don't even remember. No, I don't even remember.
So I've discovered that 90% of the emails we get are about wiping your butt. Like for some reason, nothing we say is as divisive.
Sometimes it's about poop going into your mouth.
That's true.
Sometimes I don't even think we talked about. We haven't talked about wiping techniques for a good year.
Almost nonstop. Right? Like it's every third week we talk about how we wipe our butts.
Anytime we answer an email, it comes up because every email that we get involves wiping.
Oh, so it's like, it's or the poop transplant, like into your.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah.
Same. Most of those are subject for Brendan.
Yes.
Which I appreciate.
Yeah.
Dear FDSFC. Man, it was so funny to hear y'all discussing bidets on the Frogcast after having just installed my own a couple days prior. Bidets have intrigued me since hearing some tech bro fawn over his on another podcast. Of course, that thing was remote controlled, several $100, and probably app enabled to re-up Soylent orders and upload to PhotoStream or whatever. Anyway, seizing the chance to weird out my dad on the Amazon Prime account we share, I came across the hilariously Aussie-inspired Bidet Mate for $30. That's just a solid.
It's good. Yeah. It's good. Worth it.
Yeah. After a week, all I can say is that this thing will probably be my ruin. Pooping is now a total thrill, and I sour with disappointment just thinking of all the world's toilets that cannot provide that chilly blast to my ass.
Look, scary suggestion. Maybe you clean it off and bring it with you. Maybe you just have like, you know, they have those little Pelican case that you bring your fancy camera in with the foam that you cut out in the shape of the camera.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe you get one of those and you just cut round. A bidet shape. You just cut a bidet like shape into it.
It's a briefcase shaped like a toilet seat. Also, to settle some concerns, I spend a lot of my free time drinking alcohol, and naturally this pastime crosses paths with pooping. Let me tell you, I've heard accounts from race car drivers about the melding of body and machine, and for me there is no stronger instance than being drunk on this thing. I just give a wink into the mirror and the bowl and crank the fucker up until my cheeks vibrate like a bloodhound attacking a garden hose. Jesus. Fraud on D. Swear to God, I'm not a shill for big bidet.
Here's the thing. That is some fucking social marketing 101 shit. Cause I would 100% spend the money to like find out what that feels like on my butthole.
Well, I mean, that's just a universal desire.
Yeah.
You're fulfilling a need.
Yeah. But specifically, the bloodhound going after garden hose.
Yeah. That's a good image.
Yeah.
Cause I can see that. Bloodhounds, they got
the
lips.
The shaky. They got the big old. Floppy faces.
It's evocative. That's
your butt.
What it is. It's evocative.
Really just paints a picture.
Try and drink
it. Has texture.
You can't. It's liquid.
Brendan, I mean, you have a bidet. What do you?
you crank that shit up.
The first day I moved in, I turned it on, and the water literally hit the ceiling. So then I was like, I ain't using that shit.
You gotta dial this back a little bit.
Yeah.
So you never have. That's it. That's the whole story. You just don't use it.
It's like a fucking. It's not a bidet. It's an enema.
Film drug broadcast. We're all too scared to use a bidet.
I'm not putting my butt on that.
Well, maybe like
it wouldn't be a because it wouldn't house. Be a bloodhound using a garden hose. It'd be like a bloodhound when you put the nipple on the garden hose. The kind of, you know, like dad's hosing down the patio.
Yeah. No, I got you.
You killed
the
dog.
Yeah.
One's bitten, twice shy over there.
So do you think that that I would enjoy bidets and I've just had a bad experience based on yours?
I don't know. Did you actually use mine?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, what'd you think? I seriously haven't used it.
Scared the
God.
Shit out of me.
Yeah. I mean, did you
yeah,
use it on your butt? I've only
butt.
Turned it on, and that was enough to scare me.
What else are you using it on? Well, I like to put my donger in there.
Well, no, I was asking if he just turned it on and watched the water hit the ceiling and was scared like me.
No, I tried it on my butt, and I didn't like it at all.
Yeah.
And I tried to do it soft too. Like
the
I
pressure's
tried to just
way
put it
too
a little,
high.
Yeah.
How did you just ask real nice? Oh, soft, God. Please.
Yeah, like my voice raised like 3 octaves. Next time I try to talk.
Brendan's bidet clearly doesn't have a caress.
It needs a governor.
Yeah. It does.
My bidet needs a governor.
Yeah. So, you know, I was checking out Vin Diesel's Facebook page, as I do today. And he's got a picture of himself with...
beard!
He's got a picture of himself with Paul Walker and Rob Cohen, who is some director of something that they did together. And that was kind of funny, but the really funny part is the top comment, which came from Tyrese Gibson, who...
noted bonehead.
He's sort of like a human inspirational Instagram quote. Yeah. And this is his comment on Vin Diesel's picture of Rob Cohen and Paul Walker. The foundation of a global hashtag family was built from the moment Rob Cohen introduced Paul to Vin, ... I've heard the stories of the exchange in great detail from all three of them, ... Clearly, they were genius enough to know something long before most of us ever realized it, ...
Hallmark of existential buffoonery, excessive use of the ellipsis.
Yeah, yeah. Because they're just, you can sense that they're staring off into a body of water.
Yeah, they're staring off, yeah, as they're not quite finishing the sentence. They're kind of like, it's just all chill vibes. Yeah. That chill vibes sort of preclude you from finishing sentences.
I picture they're staring, they're on the beach with a Corona, like they actually found their beach. And that's why they talk like that, because that's how you talk once you found.
He's
your
definitely
beach.
Got a No Bad Days tattoo on his calf.
What the dark side of that chill is that it actually takes more time to type the ellipses than it does just a single fucking pyramid.
Yeah,
pyramid.
Pyramid. Yes. Every Tyrese, a sentence ends with a pyramid.
Events.
Yes.
Tyrese sat everyone down and talked about this conversation.
Yeah.
Why are they laughing?
I don't know. They shared some look, and now I was trying to pay attention to what you were saying, and then I lost whatever that happened over there.
Brett said the sentence of the pyramid.
You never know what's going to...
Illuminati horseshoe right there.
You never know what's going to set Brendan off, you know?
They're always trying to trick you.
Brett's laughing harder than me.
Sorry. You were saying about Tyrese?
Well, no, I just, like, he, in that first couple sentences, he talked about how the first time, what was it, Cohen and Vin Diesel met or something?
Yeah, yeah.
Him and now he's heard it from all sides now? Like,
Rob,
he said each
Rob,
party
he heard then? About the day that Rob Cohen introduced Paul to Vin, and he heard about it, and it's
from
touched
multiple
him.
Sides, though?
Yeah, apparently.
Like, it's a documentary, like, worth getting into?
Oh, there's a lot of talking heads involved.
What was his weird rant about with the turning people lesbian and shit?
Yeah, but let me finish this post because it's really important.
It's like when Stalin met Churchill, met FDR.
The letters, the tweets, the Facebook posts with people pouring their hearts out about how this hashtag fast family re-sparked the love and bonding in their own families globally, ...
Oof.
This should serve as a reminder that we have the power to influence, impact, and impact lives globally through imagery. I think you all should know this by now, ... This hashtag fast family is your family, ...
Whoa, whoa.
We didn't just lose Paul because we knew him personally. We all lost Paul and felt the effects from his untimely transition globally, ...
Untimely transition.
Vin,
man, being this dumb sounds awesome.
Yeah, doesn't it? Like everything you do is fucking profound. Everything is like being in the third stage of syphilis, where you get all like
you, the three of us, and the four of us, have spent more time typing and then deleting tweets than he has composing literally every social media post.
It's like you're at that perfect moment.
For us being like, no one would think this is funny.
When you're on mushrooms, but you're not scared anymore.
He's just like that all the time. Just tripping
what
out.
Happened to him? He untimely transitioned.
Yeah.
Just tripping just, out about
know,
water
hop,
going
hop
down
to a grid. Different plane real fast.
Vin, you're the big brother I've never had, ... Patient and always mentoring, we all feel protected because of you as a producer in this franchise, ... To my big bro, the selfless leader and captain, dot, dot, dot. Vin, this is for you, dot, dot, dot. And then he put in, he put in a video. And it gets better. So all I could see was the screen cap of Martin Luther King like, during the I Have a Dream speech.
Tell me he dubbed himself over it.
No. So then I clicked on it.
Just scatting.
just slipping his net. Tyrese Gibson.
So then I clicked on it, and this is what I got. This is what I got.
Here's to the crazy ones.
Is this an Apple commercial?
Yes!
Oh, what the f...
Troublemakers. The round pegs in the square holes.
Is that what you're
trying to say? The ones who see things differently.
Yep.
They're not fond of rules.
You get it?
They have no respect for the status.
Because Vin Diesel thinks differently.
Oh, I thought he was a computer.
Disagree with them.
Oh, no, all these guys are dead. That's what it is.
About the only thing you can't do is ignore them.
He thinks different.
Why is your...
change things. They push the human race.
He thinks different.
And while some may... He untimely transitioned.
...as the crazy ones.
What?
What's it like to watch TV where everything's so fucking profound?
Right, you see an ad, you know? I connect just with hashtag brand.
Just crying all the time. Just, oh, fucking Samsung.
It's awesome how much DraftKings understands me.
Yeah. I just wanted 1 week fantasy
football. So I can play for just a day?
Just a day. You can win millions in cash and prizes.
I love to win millions. It's just for me.
By the way, they're going to get shut the fuck down from all this advertising.
Well, I was just talking to someone.
Because they only exist within a massive loophole.
Well, also.
Also, they're advertising the lack of skill you need to play, which is really the only thing that keeps them from gambling.
Exactly. It's the game of skill versus game of chance loophole.
Yes.
Well, do you guys know anyone that uses DraftKings or FanDuel?
No.
Laramie?
Negative.
And yet they're spending like billions and billions on advertising. That doesn't seem like it's a sustainable model.
Vince, we are so far away from the target market for anything.
As much as Brendan watches football, you'd think he would be the target.
How much does Brendan buy football at this point, though?
How much does Brendan participate in fantasy football?
Yeah.
Zero.
Oh, yeah. That's a good point.
I play fantasy football. But
me too.
But I'm not very good at it because I get tired.
Me neither.
And I don't want to have to do more work. I don't have to research people. It's my fucking job. I don't want that.
It's hard.
We got another email from someone who says they're on an intramural bocce team, and they played a team.
I like the specification there. Well, it's just intramural. So
yeah.
You know,
we're not going pro.
Big leagues.
Not professional.
Anything.
It's not semi-pro.
There's no sponsorship here.
Yeah. It's really for the love of drinking beer and throwing balls.
Bocce's fucking awesome.
Yep.
I like bocce.
Yeah. If I were going to put a court of any kind in my home, on my land, on my property, bocce would be
one.
Well,
if I had a really big house, it'd be shuffleboard.
I put the people's court in mine.
Like, you have Judge Wapner on retainer?
He can't leave. It's fenced in.
Like, are you talking cruise ship shuffleboard with like the...
No. I'm talking the bar. Yeah, the curling, the sand curling.
I've looked into that 3 times for jackass CEOs that want to buy something fun for the office.
Oh,
I'm thinking like shuffleboard will be really inconvenient to put in, and I'd like to see that happen because I also enjoy shuffleboard. It's like the perfect amount of troll and actual enjoyment for me. Never happened.
Why did they just, it was too expensive?
Like the other shit's cheaper. You can get a fucking foosball table for like half the price.
I mean, shuffleboard really is the most inconvenient thing. You have to have like 40 feet of free space.
Yeah. Lengthwise, all in one axis.
Like you need something shaped like Chile.
You need positive Z action.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, this person's on intramural bocce team in DC, and tonight our team played a team that had none other than Joe Henchman from the 2015 Name of the Year tourney as a member.
Oh, nice. I like that email a lot. The only question is how is this a verified? Maybe there's more than one Joe Henchman. In fact, if I'm led to believe from the movies I watched, there's a lot of Joe Henchman.
Fucking, they can't be killed because they just keep spawning back up.
Could be a, you know, he could be a dynasty. His dad's Joe Henchman.
Yeah, he's like Joe Henchman the 7th.
Don't take the law in your own hands. You take him to court.
You can't kill me. You're a cop.
So another bidet email.
Really?
Yeah. Hey, Frauders, after listening to the last broadcast and hearing your difficulties with bidets, you need to know that they are inefficient and lame. There are better ass cleaning alternatives. I've spent some time in the Middle East and Southeast Asia. In most bathrooms, next to the toilet is a spray nozzle, like the ones you see next to the faucet on sinks, that you use to give your asshole a good spray. You can either lift up one side and spray, or lift up your dick and balls and a good and lift up your dick and balls a good power washing. That sentence is missing a subject. It's by far a better method, and I'm looking to get one installed in my home. Ask Ben about it. He's been to Southeast Asia, so he probably knows exactly what I'm talking about.
So, like, mixed reviews on the bidet. I think I just want the bloodhound to lick my butt. But, like, shaking.
I think I want the bloodhound to hold the hose.
That.
I mean, that's a tall order.
That's a well-trained dog.
Yeah.
And, like, some really unhappy neighbors.
Yeah. Because it just bays the whole time.
And also, you're in your front lawn. Well, you're because it's an outdoor hose. That's the only image, like the green garden hose.
Because it's your dog.
No, it's your dog.
It's your lawn too. So, just think about that.
Yeah.
Hey guys, my brother and his wife are about to have their first baby. It's awesome, but his wife
Mazel tov.
But his wife is from one of those families where everyone's named is filled names. Jesus, where everyone's name is filled with extraneous Y's or the Aiden suffix. Can I just say, listen, man.
Emailer from Utah.
Can I just say, listen, man, this must stop with your family, or should I just live life with a bunch of nieces and nephews with terrible names? I think it's pretty easy. Like, you just go around them and you start, just send them texts making fun of people's dumb names and hope that he catches your drift.
Yeah.
I've talked friends out of shitty names with other kids.
Yeah.
I talked my sister out of a crappy name for my niece.
But usually it doesn't work. Usually they just pick some other crappy name.
Also, as the aunt or uncle, your job's not really to make the kid's life easier. It's mostly to bust their balls in an amusing way to you, the aunt or uncle. Mm. And so, like, having a dumb name will probably make that job a lot easier. You'd be like, you got a dumb name.
I think I
and
I
they'll
saved
cry
her
and
from,
laugh.
I put her in a good name situation, but I've made up for it since by every time we play catch, I just peg her in the face with a Nerf ball.
Yeah. Yeah, that'll
Who,
help.
Your
that'll
niece
help. Yeah.
Or your
yeah,
sister.
That's oh, I mean, that's what you do.
Yeah.
As an aunt or uncle, you got to, like, fucking just, like, play catch wrong.
Right.
So they learn.
Well, yeah, you don't want to give them a big head.
But then you also slip them some beer. Mm-hmm. Be like, the Sixers for you. It's Rocky Mountain cold.
A friend told me
brought
that.
Brought to you by DraftKings.com.
DraftKings.com,
the official sponsor of Rocky Mountain Refreshment.
I'm not excited to get sued by them. Because you know what, like, young upstart companies with a shitload of money have is really good lawyers that are so bored.
Yeah. A friend of mine says he works with a girl who just had a kid and she named it Katniss Everdeen. That, like,
yes!
First and middle name.
Just fucking committing to it, huh?
Just really committing hard. Because you know that's going to be popular in 70 years.
Wow.
It's not about being popular. It's about being ephemeral.
What's the thing that would have been Katniss Everdeen if our
Betty Page?
No, too old.
Memphis Belle.
I think it'd be like Marty McFly. Like, if you ran to a bunch of fucking Marty McFlys.
I can find
40 years ago.
I can find the week of your birth. What were the best selling books? The week of my birth. Best-selling books were The Covenant by James A. Michener.
I don't know what that is.
Welcome to Birth.
Answer as a Man.
That's how you father a child. You punch it in the face right after it's born. Say, welcome to Birth.
Go back to your spaceship.
No one's ever heard of any of these.
I petitioned really hard for Space Monster.
What, as a name?
Yeah, as the first name of my firstborn son. And I got shot down every time, and it's kind of embittered me to the whole having children process. Space Monster is such a good name.
Did you at least settle for Kevin Spacey? Yes. He's the president of space.
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie. My child is named Kevin Spacey.
I tried to go for Wolfgang Pajama Jam. KFC Double Down Dillinger.
Yeah. You just forego your last name. You're just like, your last name's Dillinger now because it works better with KFC Double Down.
Pythagoras Pistol Drone. I like that. You know, I like things that alliterate.
Yeah, I know. Everyone does. That's how you become president.
So yeah, none of these books, I don't know any, well, actually Congo by Michael Crichton is
one
of the ones. Oh,
Amy Good Gorilla. Amy Good Gorilla. Amy Good Gorilla Mancini.
Did he make her talk in the third person?
Amy sad. Bad girl.
Ooh, Firestarter by Stephen King.
Yeah, that's a good one too.
Come Pour the Wine by Cynthia Friedman.
Yeah, gross.
A Woman's Long Journey to Self-Discovery. Wow, that sounds fascinating. That's one of those synopses, those evergreen synopses that people don't realize no one ever wants to read about. Like, that's not... Like, when a movie's like, the lives of four strangers intersect, blah, blah, blah.
Vince, I don't want to be the one to break this to you, but I don't think anyone that's writing copy is writing for the ages.
It's true. But aren't they... writing to sell the thing that they're trying to sell.
I'm not even sure they're doing that, dude.
Yeah, that's probably
remember
true.
Unless it's to Tyrese Gibson, because he's like, holy shit, four people go through a journey? Oh, that's so deep, man. Everyone goes through a journey when you ...
Dude, we got to find out what the last thing Tyrese Gibson said.
What was the rant about? Who makes lesbians? Is it people that can't
like
please
women? Independent women that are too choosy in picking a man, right? Because that statement is so not self-serving.
No, they're too independent, and they're like, and we don't need a man. They're too proud to have a man, and that's why they like chicks.
Huh.
It's a very educated, well-thought-out viewpoint.
Paulette Washington, our hero and beloved Denzel's wife, has launched her own sweet tea. I've already ordered... So that's what he's got going on social media.
It's good hashtag content.
Oh, he's such an idiot. It's beautiful. I'm always up to something. My next move is going to shock the world. Hashtag vision implementor. Hashtag Voltron chairman. Hashtag mystique.
Hashtag Voltron chairman.
Is that that's the black lion, right? The one that's in the middle, the arm, the...
He's gonna make his great leap forward with Voltron.
It all forms.
People don't see
head.
What you bring to the table. Stay That's away Voltron. From the table.
Right. Sorry, we're listening to Tyrese.
Times you're gonna run around complaining.
Okay. I'll listen to
about
I don't
all
think
time,
Voltron's
energy.
Really like a. Board situation. I don't think there's like a chairman of Voltron.
Did you didn't want to hear straight talk from Tyrese?
Nah.
Yeah, it's like
he kind of bums
like
me out.
Mao.
Oh shit!
It's like Chairman Mao. It's self-appointed.
Oh,
shit. That's why I said the great leap forward.
Oh,
with Voltron this time.
That's gonna be way worse because of the giant robot.
If you don't think that a tiger needs to brush its teeth, you better damn
it's a robot
well
tiger
that a robot tiger doesn't have to brush its teeth.
Yeah.
Shit. That's, yeah.
That was a deep history cut. Yeah. That was Chairman Mao's rationale for not brushing his teeth.
He really didn't brush. Chairman Mao's the worst, man. Just a real dick.
Yeah. He had a lot of bad ideas.
Yeah. Like, he really didn't brush
his
teeth.
A lot of
teeth.
Bad ideas. Yeah, he said because a tiger doesn't brush his teeth.
But tigers have very efficient kidneys.
Yeah, well, tell it to Chairman Mao.
They also don't live 80 years. I think that's the main...
Also, some of them form the arms, and some of them are the legs.
Oh, Brendan, you want to take us on out here? You're better at this than I am.
Is it over already? My goodness. All right. Well, thanks for listening to the Film Drunk Frogcast, brought to you by DraftKings.com. Laramie, as always, thanks for being our guest.
Just a pleasure, gentlemen.
Or as most of the time, not as always. You're not always our guest.
Yeah,
but sure. We love you when you're on.
Thanks, bud.
You're welcome. All right. Well, send us emails, frogcast@gmail.com. Vince, what's the Google voice number?
415-275-0030.
All right. Well, let's put a bow on it, gents. Until next week, good night and good chins.